You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabach, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a man barely 6 feet tall, but a mountain of muscle, Pete Schwabach.
You know it. Welcome back, folks. This is Nightlight, a Tuesday night edition, and we are broadcasting live from beautiful downtown Madison, our state's capital, just above State Street here. It was really fun. If you missed hour one, we talked to Dr. Lyerly, not necessarily a great subject matter, talking about the flu and this year's outbreak, which has gotten really bad, and some respiratory issues happening around the country. It's gotten out of hand. Conrad, have you had the flu?
Yeah, I've had this year. Not this year.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm hoping not to get it. Really?
Yeah, I don't want it.
He's not the best color man in the business for nothing, folks. Do you like when I say that and compare you to Bob Uecker's sidekick in Just a Bit Outside?
I mean, he's great, so I love it.
You like any connection to Wisconsin sports. That's why I know I could say those things to you. That's Conrad Krieger, folks. He is working the board tonight back in Green Bay. Coming up at 6:35, Rob Thomas is here. He is a Madison-based film critic and the CityCast Madison newsletter editor. We'll talk to Rob about what's going on around town in January here in Madison and movies and award shows. That will be fun. Then at 7:35 tonight, my pal Jim McHugh, a very funny Chicago-based comedian and Packer fan, will join the show, and he will represent Packer fans in Chicago, and I will represent Bear fans here in Wisconsin, and he and Conrad can gang up on me. It'll be a fun discussion about the big game this weekend. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite soap opera or cheesy drama? I said the following because it was really bad. It was a Kevin Bacon show a few years ago where they had like a big mansion that serial killers could hang out in, and they play ping pong. It was just a very strange world. That seemed, I don't know, really made up. And Conrad Lake's Days of Our Lives because of Friends, because of another TV show.
Dr. Draker Maury.
But Dr. Draker Maury. So let us know what your favorite soap opera or cheesy drama is tonight, folks. That is tonight's question. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app. Or if you're watching the radio on the stream, go ahead and drop us a stream comment. We have some comments we'll get to in just a bit. Right now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. He was on the show a few weeks ago, and I thought we should have a mic back on when I'm in Madison because he could come into the studio and we can make a proper case for this really cool event that is literally just around the corner here. Mike Gamal, the founder of Joey Song, joins me in the studio. Hey, buddy.
Pete, how are you, man?
Great to have you here in person. You are a rocker, man. You look like... Because before
disheveled.
I saw you, well, you got that rock and roll thing going, and I'm kind of disheveled too, but I can't lay claim to the fact that I'm this great musician. But you're here and playing the part, and you look like a rock and roller who is putting on a really cool rock event for a very good cause.
Well, part of the reason I can do this is I spent 25 years working for IBM when I was a grown-up.
Wow.
And I didn't get to do this.
Okay.
So
wow.
Now that I'm retired, I get to I don't
let
have
it grow,
to be a
baby.
I don't have to be a grown-up. But my tattoos and all that other stuff that I couldn't do back in the day. So, yes, it is a really cool event, Joey Song.
All right. So, tell us about Joey Song. You started this event in honor of your son.
Yep.
And now it's become a full-blown music festival. Tell us how it started and about Joey and how this wonderful event came to be.
Well, you know, the evolution of it, Pete, is actually kind of mind-boggling, to be really honest. There was no master plan. You know, I didn't sit down and craft it all out. We started out, my son had a really terrible form of epilepsy called Dravet syndrome. Epilepsy is like a lot of illnesses. It's a spectrum disorder. There's tons of causes, tons of ways it manifests itself, some severe, some not. And unfortunately, Joe got on that really far end of that bell curve. And when we lost him in 2010, just shy of his fifth birthday, we actually thought about trying to do something before he had passed. His prognosis was really bad. He was going to need care all of his life. And But we felt like maybe there's something we could do. And I had spent a lot of time here in Madison, long time ago, back at a club called Headliners, which was down on University Avenue. And we had a lot of the, I describe it as the MTV bands on the way up and the 60s bands. So we had U2 and the Police and Joan Jett. You know, all of them when their first and second albums were coming out. And then, you know, Savoy Brown and all these bands on the way down.
Yeah.
But the key to all that is there was this guy kicking around Madison at the exact same time called Butch Vig. Right. And so Butch and I, we weren't particularly close, but we hung around with the same group of folks. Right.
Yeah.
And then Butch went on to win Grammy Awards,
Crazy.
MTV Boon Man. I mean, you win a Grammy Award for producing Paul McCartney, you've pretty much hit the toppermost of the poppermost.
That's some street cred right
there. Yeah. That'll get you. So anyway, when we were trying to hash out exactly what we were going to do, because we still wanted to help, we say help the next family. Right. And that's what we're here to do. Somebody is sitting in. Was in a neurologist's office today with their child getting a really crummy diagnosis, and they're scared. They're scared, and they don't know what to do, and they need to know that somebody's out there doing what they can, right? So Joey's song is our attempt to use some of my, and then through osmosis, Butch's musical connections, and now it's kind of grown to turn into this two-night music festival. We change it up every year. Last year it was four nights. This year it's two nights because we try to make it a little bit different every year. All these amazing people that come from all over and play music that they don't normally play. It's like the world's greatest live jukebox as opposed to anything else. And it's all in the name of trying to raise money. It's a beautiful thing.
And I love what you said when you were on the show previously that they don't take money to do it. They come here. They play music. They get to play music they don't always play, so you make it fun for them.
Rock camp for musicians.
Yeah. I mean, what a fun thing.
It really is. I mean, tonight's Tuesday, and they'll start coming into town tomorrow.
Wow.
Almost all of them will be in town as of tomorrow. They'll rehearse, because even though it's kind of ramshackle, it's also, they're still professionals,
right?
And they want
to
do a good job. And they come, and two beers and a ham sandwich is what I say their fee is. I don't know what.
Butch, that's a good Wisconsin payment, right?
I just throw some cheese curds in there. But you know, I just look at some of these people. I know what like John Resnick of the Goo Goo Dolls gets for a show.
Yeah,
there's many zeros after that. He's not taking a penny for it. I know what Butch gets to produce a record. He's not, you know, and go right down the list: the Go-Go's, the Bangles. You know, Kurt Smith from Tears for Fears, Matt Sorum from Guns N' Roses. I mean, all of these people make a lot of money doing what I'm asking them to do for free, and they come in willingly and do it. I can't really, to be honest with you, Pete, get my mind around it sometimes.
I can't even imagine. Like, it's so funny. I'd like to sit here and tell you, I mean, I've pretty much been in some form of show business my entire adult life, and I'd love to say, oh, I'm not starstruck.
Yeah.
But You know, John Resnick, you mentioned.
Yeah.
When I moved to L.A., I was there probably a year, and I was going into a convenience store, and he came out with a Big Gulp. Yeah. I'm like, that's the guy from the Goo Goo, just getting a Big Gulp.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a regular dude. You knew Butch Vig before he was Butch Vig.
Yeah.
I've interviewed him twice. I never knew. When I saw him, and we were in the green room together at PBS, I was like, my God, that's Butch Vig.
Yeah.
Like, there are some celebrities that have done some, you don't know why they're famous.
Right.
And then there are those who are like, this guy has done something.
Right.
He's produced all different kinds of music, won awards doing it.
Absolutely.
And you kind of sit there and you're like, what do I say to him? And then Butch starts talking about the Packers. I'm like, okay, there we go.
And you know, obviously I've known BV for a long time, so I knew that. But you meet all of these people.
Yeah.
And if you don't, I don't even know how to say this without sounding weird. If you don't treat them like something special, they love it. You know, right? They would rather all of these people would rather talk about the Packers or their crocheting class or hot yoga than what the 86, you know, Lollapalooza tour was like.
Yeah.
And I learned that early. There were a couple other friends that I had that have had modicum of success. And I know that for a fact, because you're hanging out. And the quickest way for them to go cold to somebody is go, oh, I love your music. Can you explain to me what you meant by this lyric? But if you come up to them and say, I know you're from Glasgow, there's some great they'll lock,
yeah.
You know, most of them would just rather be you and me.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they'll take some of the trappings that come with it. But
that's good to know, Mike, because I'm nervous even talking to you.
Well, I'm intimidating as hell, Pete.
Mike Cabal is my guest. He is the founder of this great event, Joey's Song. His son Joey lost his life at the age of 5 due to a rare form of epilepsy. And he was a music lover, and you founded this really cool thing. Now it's also called the Freezing Man Festival. Yeah. So what can people expect, Mike? You said there were a few tickets left for Saturday night. Let's say they put their money down. It goes to a great cause. We know that. But what's the night like for them from an entertainment standpoint?
That's the best question you can ask, Pete, to help me sell what we do.
Great.
It's a one-off event. You will see. So if I, again, go down the list of performers, right, and you know, Go-Go's and Bangles and all that other stuff, it's not a Go-Go show. It's not a Bangles show. Yeah, they'll do like Jane Wiedlin from the Go-Go's, former Madison resident, wrote Our Lips Are Sealed. I'm sure she'll perform that song. But she's also going to do a Beatles song or a Stone song. And she's not going to do it with her band. She's going to do it with Butch on drums and Nicky Moninger from Silver Sun Pickups on bass. So what you're going to see is these one-and-done performances, things you'll never see again.
Wow.
You know, these kind of FOMO moments. I'll tell you a quick story. This is my favorite example of it. The first year we really got this going as it was, we had Dave Perner from Soul Asylum singing. We had Chris Collingwood from Fountains of Wayne on guitar. Butch was on drums. Freddie Johnston and I believe Kay Hanley were on vocals. And they did Take the Skinheads Bowling by Camper Van Beethoven. Right? I mean, You couldn't do one of those, you know, put the words on the fridge in any order and come up with that. And it was awesome. People lost their mind, and it's gone. I mean, that's the beauty of this. It's truly a moment, you know. So that's what you'll see, and you'll see that for a couple hours. I have had a peek at the set list, and there's going to be some pretty amazing things happening.
So when they play a song like that, and all these people come from different bands, and maybe some of them know the song better than others or whatever, how much rehearsal, do you know, Mike, goes into something like that?
Yeah, I do. It's amazing because the notes start about a month before the show, right? Well, Butch and of Alex Drossert, who's from the Appleton area, who kind of helps put all this together, we start working on the set list and kind of slotting in people.
Okay.
And once the people get their name attached to it, the texts start flying. So the physical rehearsal will start on Thursday. That, you know, they won't all be in the same room, but there's already notes a month ago on what key we're going to play that in. Are we going to drop it down a step? Are we going to, like I said, it's ramshackle in the best kind of way, but none of them want to be embarrassed up there. None of them want to not know what they're doing. So it's a lot of effort, a lot of effort.
That's crazy because I love when musicians get together and do that. Like I saw the George Harrison tribute concert with Billy Preston and George Harrison's kid. And it looks like they're just jamming and having fun because they're professionals. And you go, they're that good. But you're saying even though they are professionals, man, it gets to a tee.
Yeah, there's no laying low because they're professionals on stage with people they're not normally with. So nobody wants to be embarrassed. Yeah. A lot of these people know of each other, but may not know each other until we've kind of built this larger Joey Song family, but they want to hold their own. I mean, if you think about some of the expertise that's on that stage, you know, you don't want to, I mean, Kurt Smith, bass for Tears for Fears, right? You don't want, if you're a fellow bass player, you want to make sure you're getting that right when he's out there. Or take Matt Sorum, right? The drummer for Guns N' Roses and The Cult. He's played with Alice Cooper and all these people and Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top. If you're a drummer and you know Kurt's going to be on the kit next. So there's a lot of that. And that's great. And, you know.
Even people who are kind of famous can be starstruck. They get on the stage with someone they idolize. They don't want to be embarrassed either. Mike Kamal is here. We're talking about Joey Song. When we come back after this very short break, folks, I'm going to tell you they've got some serious Wisconsin star power hosting this baby. I'll tell you who that is after a break. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's a
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Right. It is a Tuesday night, folks, in beautiful downtown Madison, and that is where we are broadcasting from tonight. It's a Tuesday night edition of Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabe, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. My guest in the studio right now is Mike Gamal, the founder of Joey Song, a great music event that he named after his son, who was the inspiration for the whole thing. And they raise money for epilepsy, and it's just a phenomenal event. Musicians come in from all over the country. They don't take any money, and it's turned into quite the gala event.
Yeah.
Mike, who is the host of this year's event?
Well, this year we have returning for his third year, and the only reason it's his third and not his fourth is because I screwed up the schedule last year. I want to be very clear. Everybody's favorite newscaster from the Manitowoc Minute, Charlie Behrens, is going to. Charlie always helps us keep things rolling along.
Yeah. Oh, what a great.
He's such a good dude.
I'm sure he's does a great job emceeing too. Like, especially like, you know, what do you do for musical acts? You know, comedy's just a great way to break that up a little bit, I think.
Yeah, it is, especially with what we do, right? Because if you're doing a reel in, one of the things that's really important, you asked earlier what people can expect. One of the things that's really important is what we do is serious, how we do it is not, right?
Okay.
So it's not going to be, and there's nothing wrong with fundraising, with making sure people understand the devastation and all that. And you will, when you leave, understand the implications of epilepsy.
Right.
But it's up. So for our show, when you've got people playing songs for the first time, you know, it's a much different vibe. And somebody like Charlie can keep that ball kind of rolling. And he's great at it. And if people don't know, Charlie's himself a musician. He's got a couple albums out. He and Adam Gruhl did a couple one's called Supper Club Music, or sorry, Charlie, if you're listening, I got it wrong. But they do music that fits his comedy, right? So they'll do a song about a salad bar or a relish tray or that kind of stuff.
That's fun. All right, that's a great evening. The World Health Organization, Mike, help me wrap my head around this, says epilepsy is the most common or serious brain disorder worldwide. It takes more lives than breast cancer every year. It affects more people than multiple sclerosis, cerebral palsy, muscular dystrophy, and Parkinson's disease combined.
Yet, the funding for epilepsy research is behind all four of those individually. So it's more prevalent than those four, but each one of those gets more funding.
Why do we know why that is?
I have a theory.
Okay.
You'd like to hear
sure.
that? Yes.
We're on the radio. Let's do it.
Sure. Can we get a light bulb over my head? Epilepsy was stigmatized forever, right? It wasn't until 100 years ago that we understood what it was. It was the devil. It was demons. Mm. It was you were crazy, right? So for the longest time, you were stigmatized with it.
Okay.
The other part of it is with all those other diseases you mentioned, you can physically see the manifestation of it. If somebody's got MS or MD or cerebral palsy or, you know, any of those, Parkinson's, you can physically see them. Unless somebody's having a seizure in front of you, which does not happen all the time, you don't know it. So it's very much of a hidden disorder for people. And it, having been a part of that field, the people that have it, there's, and you, no matter how you say it, there's a shame or an embarrassment that goes, because one of the things when somebody has a seizure is they black out mostly. They don't know it. So imagine, other than spending too much time at your local distillery, having these things where you don't remember what you did for for a while in front of people that you can't control. So all of those factors make it not something people often talk about. But I will tell you, once you start talking about it, you find out how it manifests itself all over. I mean, you mentioned, I now obviously talk about it a lot. The number of my dad, my uncle, my cousin, me, you know, oh yeah, I had seizures. And it's so, well, 1 in 26 people will develop epilepsy in their lifetime. 1 in 10 people will have a seizure in their lifetime. People with epilepsy are 3 times more likely for premature death than the general population. So it's something that needs to be talked about. It's something that we need to figure out. But the reason why it lags behind all that, at least in my mind, is all that stigma that's come with it. And it's not physically apparent.
That makes sense. Absolutely. So, all right, given all that information, what we just said and what you just said about epilepsy, if people can't make the show but want to make a donation, can they do that?
Yeah, they sure can. There's lots of ways that you can help. JoeySong.org and Joey Song on all the socials is the easiest way to find us. You can make a donation. It helps. Keeping in mind, and you're a great straight man, Pete. You should do this for a living. I mean, you led right into it. Keeping in mind that none of these artists are taking a penny, and we have no paid staff at Joey Song, you can know that your donation isn't paying an executive director. Not that there's anything wrong. I realize charities need to have that. I'm not throwing shade, but you can know that your money will be going where it needs to be going. And if you really want to get something out of your donation, we also have an auction, a silent auction going on that you don't have to be present to win. And we've got guitars by Goo Goo Dolls and Brad Paisley and Cheap Trick and Jason Isbell and Def Leppard. And wow, all of these amazing people have signed guitars for us. So if you need something for the man cave or the she shed, we've even got Alanis Morissette donated a signed harmonica.
Oh, so
you
can pick up your Alanis. Little Arbor Day gift or something.
There you go. Yeah. So those are all the ways that you can help us fundraise, because then we can turn that all around and get it to the smart people in the lab coats that are trying to figure this out.
I love it. That's so great, Mike. And will Frank Anderson be there? Is my final question.
Frank will be there in his Undertaker ensemble. Haven't you ever seen the black hat?
Yeah.
And nobody pays a lap steel like Frank.
He's the best. So awesome.
He is the best, man, and he can play, and it's not just that he plays it well, he can play any style of music well too. You can have him doing a ballad, and then the next one can be a three-chord rocker, and Frank is right there with you.
He's such a good dude. I call him a showbiz renaissance man. I would rather read Frank's Facebook posts than watch most of the TV that's on there. That's how what an interesting guy.
And I guarantee you there will be three nuggets in anything Frank tells you that you would go, what?
Exactly.
And
I don't care for him personally, but I do like his...
Hey, yeah. He's got a hygiene issue. There's all sorts of things.
We agree with that.
Yeah.
Mike Gamal, Knock Him Dead, at Joey's Song. So much fun. Thanks for coming in,
buddy. You bet, man.
All right, that's Mike Gamal. Go to Joey's Song, hashtag Joey's Song on all the socials, and find out how you can help. It's a great cause and a great show. When we come back after the news, folks, we will be talking with Rob Thomas. He's coming into the studio. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight. Great to have you with me on the Civic Media Radio Network. That was fun. What a good guy. Mike Gamal was here talking about Joey's Song. And if you missed any of the show so far, folks, know that you can go to civicmedia.us and hear my discussion with Dr. Kristen Lyerly from hour number one regarding the flu and the very high flu numbers this year. And then my interview with Mike Gamal. What an interesting guy. Started Joey's Song after his son passed away from epilepsy. And they raised money for epilepsy research and also put on a pretty damn good show from what it sounds like. We should go to that con.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds very, very, very fun.
I agree. And we should do like a broadcast or something there next year. Would you come down to Madison for that?
A Nightlight road trip?
Nightlight road trip, baby. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Rob Thomas should be along shortly. We'll talk movies and award shows with Rob and kind of what is happening around Madison in January. We will discuss all of that with Rob when he arrives. Oh, there he is now. Right now, let's read some text. You know, Tom from New Berlin also said the comedy show Soap was based on, it was sort of a parody of a soap opera, and Billy Crystal was on it. And he says Bert was hilarious, too. That was Richard Mulligan, and he was really funny on that show. And John Murray also made reference to the show Soap. He said, I remember joining Soap in the late 70s, edgy and still more relevant than ever. Here's the thing. Soap was outstanding parody. It was soap opera-ish, but it was very unsoap opera-like. It was just a great comedy. And it's a show I always, whenever somebody brings it up, I always mean to watch it, and then I just kind of forget about it. But it was, as a kid, I loved it. I don't even think I was supposed to be watching it. I think my parents thought the subject matter was a little too mature for me. Do you have restrictions on you, Conrad, when you grew up? Your parents ever not let you watch something?
Well, yeah, I couldn't go to, the naughty channels when I was young.
The adult theater? Down the block. Will you please stop Conrad from wearing a trench coat into the adult theater? Right over here, buddy.
Okay.
Rob Thomas has arrived, folks. We'll get Rob situated. Mark from Prairie du Sac says he wears a mask when he goes into stores not to get the flu. That was in regard to our discussion with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. And I don't blame you, Mark. You do not want this flu. It's a terrible strain. Mark also says, I'm sorry, it's Tom from Hartford said, isn't COVID still killing 300 people a week? That doesn't sound like a cheesy drama. It actually is a drama. I don't know, Tom. I'm not, and I'm sorry I missed that when Dr. Lyerly was here, because she would have been the one with the answers. But he also says medoxical. How do you spell that, Con? For hair growth. What is that
medoxical for hair growth?
Minoxidil. It's minoxidil. I think Tom had spell check on. Or he just created a product in his own basement. He's trying to get it out there via night.
I'll try it.
Which is fine. Yeah. Give it a shot, Con. See how your hair is growing by the end of the show. Steven in the 262 says the followers was great. Okay. He liked the followers. Man, I don't know. That's a great segue into my next guest who joins me here in the studio. He is another one of our Nightlight best chums. He is here quite often talking about movies and TV. And we'll ask Rob Thomas about the followers, if he remembers it, because he joins me here in the studio, Madison-based film critic, and our friend Rob Thomas. Hey, buddy.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Can you hear me okay? I raced in here.
That's a Conrad question.
Okay.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Sounds good to me, too. You raced. What happened?
Parking. First night of Hamilton here at Madison, so
So where did you park? Like on the other side of the Capitol?
I paid like 10 bucks for event parking. This is an event.
This isn't like Joey's song, but it's...
That's right.
It's Petey's song.
There you go.
Do you remember the show, The Followers?
I don't feel like I've never heard of it.
It was Kevin Bacon starred in it, and it was about serial killers worshiping another serial killer.
Oh, that's right.
I thought it was beneath him, to be honest, to do something like that, because I think he's a pretty respected... I just thought it was really cheesy, but we have listeners who really liked it. I know my cousin really liked the show. I remember discussing it with her. I don't know. Didn't do it for me, though, personally.
Yeah. So. There's that run of, like, really, really dark serial killer shows, and that was one of those. Yeah.
But this one, they had, like... some guy was bankrolling serial killers. He was putting them up. They had, like, a mansion. They had a ping pong table. It was just serial killers hanging out. Together.
That's not so bad.
Talking shop.
Why would you go out and kill if you got your ping pong table at home?
Boy, that's a great point, Rob.
Yeah.
And that's why you get paid the big bucks. That's why I'm just having you here, seeking your expertise. How are you?
I'm great.
Yeah?
Yeah. Had a good holiday and ready to jump into the new year. We've had a pretty solid winter here in Madison.
So far, so good.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's good.
Balmy today.
Yeah, weird. I don't like it.
This is great. You don't like it? You a winter guy?
Well, yeah. I mean, if we're going to do it, let's do it.
You right? just came from Antarctica, so.
There you go. That's true.
A little skewed.
Yeah, yeah.
This is fun. Do you have a New Year's resolution? Did you come out of the holidays thinking, this is Rob's year for such and such?
Not really. No, okay. I got a book project I'm working on that I would like to.
Nice.
I'd like to, you know, get to the some sort of finish line this year, but
that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
about movies or
no? It's a it's like a fiction book. Yeah.
Oh, like a narrative.
Yeah, exactly. It's been really fun to work on, so I'd like to sort of get it to a point.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So how is that harder to write than movie reviews?
Oh, so much harder. Yeah, unbelievably. Yeah, it's the hardest thing I've ever done, but it's really been fun the whole way. Like I did like a revise your novel class here in Madison a couple of summers ago. I've had people read it and give me feedback. I've really enjoyed it. I mean, it's probably somewhat comparable to making a movie where you've got to make a million different decisions. But at least with me, there's no money involved in, like, you know, this learning that one. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the same. Like, I think it would be overwhelming writing a book, and I've written screenplays, but you have benchmarks you kind of have to hit. And I like that. Like, a novel seems so overwhelming.
Right.
Like, where do you go? It just seems like such a blank canvas.
Yeah. So, I mean, just to say, I wrote what I'm writing is like a heist, like an Ocean's 11 type thing. So, which is fun because there's sort of a very specific structure to that.
Okay.
So, like, I kind of knew, like, okay, now I got to have a new character. Now I got to have a new complication. So that
very
helped
cool.
me kind of go through it all the way. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
good
super
luck.
Fun. Thanks, man.
That's good.
Yeah.
What do you, have you gotten the flu this year?
No, I've been blessed. Okay. Bianca, our host of CityCast, has been laid out this week from it.
It's
yeah.
a bad one this
it
year.
It is, yeah. I got my shot, but that doesn't mean...
It doesn't mean
I
you won't
get
something,
but at least it'll hopefully take the edge off. Yeah.
We have we know we're competing with Hamilton tonight. Not really, because it's not on the radio, but you thought you were going to be there tonight at first. Have you seen that show before?
I have.
Okay.
My daughter and I, like, I don't know with you and kids, when they're younger, like, they have, like, a year where they're just obsessed with something, and that's what's going on. Like, my younger daughter, there was a Frozen year.
Okay.
And then there was a Hamilton year probably 10 years ago when it first came out. We just listened to the soundtrack all the time. And then we went to see in Chicago, and it was fantastic. And so we might go together tomorrow night.
Okay.
Now she's now in college. She's older.
Oh, yeah.
She's got other priorities. There's a boyfriend. And I totally respect all that. But,
yeah.
But I mean, I remember thinking it was amazing back then. And I don't know if you've ever seen it, but
I saw it in Milwaukee with my daughter and my wife. I think if my daughter wanted to bring her boyfriend, I would sit between them. Is that something you would do during the
I don't know. Hamilton's not too hot and heavy when they're talking about the Constitutional Convention.
It's not going to get anybody's motor running.
Right, yeah.
Do you have a favorite Broadway show? We talk about movies a lot, Rob. You write about movies. But as far as the Broadway stuff goes, do you have a favorite?
That's a good question. I mean, Hamilton might be my favorite. I'm not that well versed in.
Okay.
I'm more in movie musicals, probably.
Yeah.
You know, like West Side Story, the original, I think is fantastic.
Yeah.
So I probably would love the musical version if I ever saw it. That's probably the big one, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think Les Mis for me is probably but there are some people that think Les Mis is over the top or whatever it is, but I've seen it 3 or 4 times.
Okay.
I can't get enough. I'd go see it tomorrow at the Overture Center.
I saw it once at Overture, and I also thought it was over the top.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, if you're gonna do it, you might as well do it.
It makes you want to walk around and talk like this with your hands. Like all right. Rob Thomas is my guest, folks. He is a Madison-based film critic. You can also see his work at CityCast Madison, where he is the newsletter editor. He does great work there. I don't even know where to start. Let's start with Madison in January, Rob. You wrote this great thing in CityCast. So before we get to movies, what are some things to do in Madison this January?
Interesting. Well, January is kind of an interesting time in Madison because we're such a college town, and so things have kind of quieted down. I think you mentioned the Freezing Man Festival, which is a big thing going on now in January's here.
You probably just took Mike's parking spot.
I probably did.
And you probably slid right in there.
So that's become a big one. The other big music thing is these local festivals they do. Like there's a Wisconsin Folk Festival and a Punk Festival and a Bluegrass Festival and a Metal Festival. You get to go see 3 or 4 great local bands in the genre for like $10.
Wow.
And it's great. I mean, because a lot of the national bands aren't touring right now, so the theaters are pretty empty. So it's like a great thing for them to get people out and a great thing for, you know, music fans to like, you know, get in touch with like your local scene. And
then, yeah.
You know.
And it's a great scene here. I mean,
it really is. Yeah. So that's something I really enjoy. But honestly, like in January, I mean, if there's snow on the ground, which now there isn't, there might be next week. It's getting out to ice skate at Tenney Park.
That's what you wrote about.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't realize there were that many great places to ice skate here that are picturesque and just really cool.
Yeah. I mean, the city has, I think, over a dozen parks that have rinks, and they're all free, and some of them have free skates.
Right.
One of them, I think, is showing a movie. Like, they just put a big screen up, and so you just skate around and watch the movie, which, you know, I'm all for.
That's what I need as a distraction.
That's
while
right.
I'm trying to keep my balance.
Well, I want other people to be distracted when when I hit the ice. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's very cool.
That's very cool. And then I saw also you have great new restaurants in Madison. And forgive me if I've asked you this before. Did you ever eat at Smokey's on University?
I didn't. It is my regret.
Mine
because
too.
Because they were there for years, drove by them all the time. And then like, I think they announced they were closing in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And, like that place was packed and I could not get in to go.
And it seemed like within a year there was something built there.
Yeah.
They tore it down. It was this cool old rock building. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you couldn't miss it on University Avenue.
And
it was
these places
fast.
Are going away, and it's like I'm going to try to, regardless of what city I'm in, go to these old places that still have the leather booth,
right?
You know, stuff like that.
Well, I wrote something for CityCast because there's this place on State Street, Himal Chuli, which was the first Nepali restaurant in the entire country,
And really?
It was a fixture there for, I think, 35 years. And they closed abruptly. Like they announced New Year's Eve they were closing New Year's Day.
Oh, no.
So I wrote something on, like, these are the long-term restaurants in Madison. Your Mickey's Dairy Bar, your Tornado Room. Esquire Club. Tornado Room is actually not that old, which I didn't realize. It's only the Tornado Room's only dates back to the 90s, but they just took over an old restaurant and didn't do, but just kind of didn't kept the look, right?
Awesome.
And the building is like 150 years old, so it feels like you've walked back in time at least.
They don't.
80 years.
The last time I was there, they don't look like they're in any. They're not closing.
They're good. They're good.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Rob Thomas is here. We're talking Madison, and we're going to shift to movies at some point. But it's just good to have him in the studio. We are coming right back. Our question of the night: what is your favorite soap opera or cheesy drama? It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. Nick from Marshall says his favorite cheesy drama is House. That's a good one, Rob. Did you ever watch that show?
No, he was like the detective doctor or something. Right?
Yeah, real kind of a bad attitude. I never watched it. I didn't know it was cheesy. I thought it was like this gripping drama, though.
Right.
But I guess it's all in the eyes of the beholder. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. Great to have you with me, folks. We're broadcasting live from beautiful Madison, Wisconsin tonight. And our question of the night is, what is your favorite cheesy soap opera or drama? Larry from Deerfield says, favorite soap my sophomore year. 1971 and 72, an all-male dorm in a small residential private college. I don't know if I like where this is going. In Minnesota, I experienced an amazing phenomenon. A couple dozen guys would gather in this Chicago kid's room, he had the best TV, to watch All My Children, AMC, and to boo Susan Lucci. That seems mean, Rob.
Is that why she lost 14 times? Because she didn't have the college boy vote?
He says she played heroine Erica Kane. I think it was therapy for most of them. I mean, without having watched the show, I kind of had a crush on her because they would always show her when she didn't win. I'm like, she's teen boy. I'm like, she's beautiful. How did she not win?
Right.
You know, that's
I always thought she was the villain on that show. I don't know why I always thought that because I never watched it, but okay. Yeah.
She might be. Daniel from Menasha, Danny Wheels, says soap opera answer Days of Our Lives. One of the many nicknames I've given my son over the years is Bo Brady, a classic main character from the show. Okay, Daniel. Thank you, sir. I'm sure your son appreciates that as well. Rob Thomas is here, folks. He reviews movies very well, and he is also the CityCast Madison newsletter editor. And he joins us here often to talk movies because we love talking movies with him. So you said you did not see the Critics' Choice Awards.
Did not, no.
All right, the big winners, and I don't know if this surprises you. It probably won't, Rob, but one battle after another,
yeah,
won Best
that's
Picture.
That's what I would think, yeah.
And then they also won Best Director for Paul Thomas Anderson and Best something. Oh, Adapted Screenplay.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't even know it was an adapted screenplay.
It was an old book by Thomas Pynchon, I think, Vineland.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's what it's from.
And I have to say, if you're Ryan Coogler, and I liked One Battle After Another. It's just more my kind of movie than Sinners.
Sure.
But I appreciate what was accomplished in Sinners. If you're Ryan Coogler, are you like, what do I have to do? Like, he put all these components, costume, story, direction, music. He had the vampires. I mean, I don't know. Oh, do you like that choice as One Battle? I know you like
it. I think that is. I think my favorite movies of the year were One Battle After Another and Sinners.
Okay.
So I'd be completely happy with either
too.
One. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I would say there is still part of critics and part of sort of voters in general in Hollywood that are resistant to horror, even though Sinners was so much more than a vampire movie.
Oh, yeah.
That may have hurt it a little. Hurt it in the sense of like second place instead of first place.
Right.
But yeah, it's hard to know, but it does feel like one battle is going to be kind of the juggernaut this year. It's one of those, some of the years it's like, oh, could be two or three of these different movies. And this is the kind of year where it's like, it's going to be one battle after another all the way. Yeah.
It'll be interesting. Will that carry over, do you think, like into the other award shows? Some years it seems like it does, and some years it seems like it doesn't.
It's interesting because like critics don't vote in the Oscars, I don't think. Right? It's all professional people in Hollywood.
Correct.
Yeah. So it shouldn't, but there's this like, I mean, it's sort of like the Golden Globes. Like the Golden Globes shouldn't have an effect because those are all foreign journalists.
Foreign, right.
But it's like people give it importance because it's like part of the Oscar campaign. And if you win, then you kind of build momentum. So it shouldn't, but it could in a weird way, you know, like it starts to make one battle seem inevitable if it just keeps winning and winning and winning and winning. Yeah.
I don't know what you would do. There was some talk of all the cast being nominated or for like a SAG, an ensemble award or something like that. But the other movies, I think, what else will get nominated? Like the Oscar nominations come out next week, correct?
Is that right?
I think next week after the Golden Globes.
Okay. Yeah.
That's usually, it's like the holidays then. It's like,
correct,
oh my God.
Right. But you're right. It's usually like the Tuesday after the Golden Globes. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. One battle for sure. Sinners for sure. I think Hamnet, I think, is one that
a lot of people haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's excellent. I think it's excellent. It's, you know, it's a very sad movie, but it's incredibly well acted. What else would I think?
Weapons?
I think that's what like horror is going to hurt it. Yeah.
Train Dreams?
I don't know. I think I feel like people are starting to discover that one.
Yeah.
But it's kind of slow, I think. I mean, you were raving about it last time we talked.
I still haven't caught it.
Yeah. Let me try and think. I'm starting to think maybe Kate Hudson might get nominated for Song.
She's
getting a lot of attention. That'd be really cool. Marty Supreme, I think, is one that's going to get nominated.
Still haven't seen it.
I thought it was great. Weekend. I think it's a very polarizing movie in some ways.
Oh, wow.
Did you see Uncut Gems?
I did.
It's like, if you want to be super uncomfortable and stressed for 2.5 hours, Marty Supreme is your movie. I was all for it, but like, it is like him just getting in and out of one jam after another.
Okay.
But I loved it. I thought it was super entertaining. Yeah.
I can't wait to see it. We're going to talk about all these movies too, after the news. What else are we missing? Like in terms of best picture, I mean, you know, and is there, I want to ask you this too, Rob.
Yeah.
Is there a stereotype or a bias against Netflix? The industry seems to be not very happy with Netflix for wanting to kill the movie theater business. Will that affect any of their movies like A Train Dreams that may or may not get?
It's an interesting question. I don't know. I mean, they're very powerful. They had a lot of good movies this year, you got to admit. And I think they probably may want to kill them with kindness and convince them to kind of keep the theatrical model going,
right.
But I guess we'll see.
We'll see. Conrad.
Yeah.
Are you there?
I am.
You still here?
Yes.
How much time do we have?
Happy New Year's.
Do you hear music, Rob?
Yeah, I hear, take five.
Okay.
This feels very cool and elegant that we're listening to jazz while we're talking, but I don't know why we're listening to it.
Yeah. I didn't know what, I thought there was like a seconds. Radio. I thought there was a radio left on here. How long has that music been playing?
For a minute?
I thought this was like the awards and they're playing us off.
Time to wrap it up, guys. Let's go. We're breaking for the news and then we're coming back with Rob Thomas. We're going to tell you what you should see at the theaters, folks. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.